Welcome to the Kingdom Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Jamie Dixon. For more great content, visit klcmaine.com.
All right, I don't have very long, but if you guys have your Bibles, go with me to Psalm 16. Thank God for notes, because I'm not going to get through it all. But we'll probably just skip through some things and kind of present the general idea of what I want to teach on today. But go with me to Psalm 16. As you guys know, we are in part four of the theology of us. And the heartbeat behind this series that we've been praying into for the last 7 months has been in our 10-year anniversary. We know that God is more interested in where we are going than where we've been. And the only way forward is this: together as one. I love that declaration in 1 Corinthians 12, where it says that there would be no division in the body. And we want to remove every opportunity that the enemy would have to foil, because God's going to do incredible things in our midst. And so we want to remove every foothold for the enemy to bring division that would cause us to not be able to steward what God is doing in our community, in our lives. What we've been doing is we've been focusing and we've kind of been building towards some keys to having really powerful kingdom connections. And that we are, you know, one of the things I said at the beginning is this, is that when you are born again, one of the parts of your identity that has to die is that independent spirit that wants to save and do everything on its own. How many of you guys know that you are not independent, but you've been born again, and that your identity is now interdependent on the community and the body of Christ that you have been sown into? Amen. And in order to have healthy kingdom connections, we have to be healthy people, because healthy people have healthy relationships. The healthy relationships begin with me. And I know that we love to diagnose everybody around me and how hard they're making my life, but how many of you guys know powerful relationships begin with powerful people? Healthy people are powerful people. Healthy relationships are the foundation of our ability to host and steward the move of God. A healthy person is a powerful person. A powerful person is a free person. And free people are those that feel empowered to make choices. That our connection is not out of obligation. It's actually out of my choice to be vulnerable and to be intimately connected to your life. That I get to make a choice every day to steward our friendship and connection. In order to have healthy relationships, we have to be those that live from love and not from fear. How many of you guys have a whole lifetime of excuses to live in fear? Come on, we got a bunch of defense mechanisms that's been created in our social interactions that they're not even like choices we make. They're actual instinctual mechanisms that we create in our life to create barriers of distance in our relationships. But Danny Silks says, love is the disposition of a powerful person in their relationship. Their behavior proves their love because they choose to love over fear and pain. Their love trumps their fear, so their choices in the relationship reflect their love. I'd encourage you highly, if you were not here, go back and listen to last week. I think I got a lot of feedback, and it was an incredibly life-changing conversation for a lot of people. But with that said, it also left us with a lot of questions to be answered today. And some of those questions were, well, in the name of love, how far do I go in a relationship with somebody that has routinely, like, betrayed my trust, wounded my life? Like, you're saying in the name of love, we'd pursue powerful connections and relationships, but what about those that have abused our relationship, who have brought toxic traits and behaviors, and they've done this, they betrayed my trust, and they've broken this, that there's no foundation for relationship, and I don't want to live in fear of their mistakes and their failures, but how far do I go in a relationship with them to create a connection, all knowing that there's no trust that it could be built on? Did anybody walk away with some questions about how far does love go? Okay, well, I want to get into that today, all right? And today is going to be life-changing for some folks. And I want to talk about, in Psalm 16, it says the boundary lines, David says this of the Lord, the boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. I want to talk about boundaries today. How many of you guys know that, healthy relationships are built on love and not fear, but how many of you guys know a healthy relationship is built on people that know how to live in with appropriate boundaries? Is that all right? How many of you guys know that boundaries aren't weapons? Some of you go, I hate boundaries. My daughter Maggie hates boundaries. She wants equal access to all of your purses to find mints and candy. Your body is not your own. She wants to just get on top of it while watching Bluey, you know? Like, she has no boundaries at all. Some of you guys hate boundaries. Because a boundaried life is one that feels disconnected and disjointed. Because it feels weaponized to create distance. But I want to get in today about healthy boundaries, because I would imagine that the majority of us has not actually experienced healthy boundaries and what it looks like to live with those. Is that all right? So we're going to get into that today. David said, the boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. This is profound, because usually we define boundaries by what's going to harm me. But David actually defines boundaries as what belongs to me. It's actually the defining line that determines what's mine. Because oftentimes we go, we have to have boundaries so that sin doesn't stain our life. So that we don't fall into sin and we don't do X, Y, and Z. But how many of you know that boundaries is not to just protect your life from sin. It's actually to protect your righteousness of your life. Why? Because righteousness belongs to you. And that there's an enemy that wants to come and to steal, kill, and destroy. And boundaries protect what belongs to you. It doesn't just defend you from what wants to hurt you. When boundaries are placed in fear, boundaries become weapons. But boundaries are not supposed to be placed in fear. Boundaries are actually supposed to be defining ideas of protecting what's valuable. How many of you guys know that not every relationship in your life should have equal access to you? But the problem is, many of us allow inappropriate access because we don't have any boundaries bringing definition to what's valuable in our life. Boundaries are not to be weaponized for disconnection, but to be established for wholeness in me and in us. Boundaries are not against you, they're for you. Brené Brown says, boundaries are not fake walls, they're not separation, they're not divisions, but they are respect for what is and is not okay for me. They're not for communicating your issues, but communicating my needs. Many of us don't have any boundaries until someone that's concerning gets around us. We have no actual language for the boundaries that we have until someone gets around us and starts threatening our peace and comfort, and then we create boundaries out of fear. But how many of you know the boundaries are not for communicating your issues and mistakes, but they are for communicating my needs? I mean, I think it's important, and one of the things I want to share with us is that many of us want to live in this like equal access world of relationship. But I mean, it's no Jesus model to us relationship that actually had priorities and values, and they were not all the same. Jesus modeled that his highest priority in relationship was with the Father. Even at the expense of denying invitation from core relationships in his life, Jesus would regularly deny those invitations in order to steward the highest priority in his life, which was his relationship with the Father. Jesus modeled to us the crowd, the 12, the 3, and the 1. The Father was the 1. And how many of you guys know in this model is a very important relational model for you and I, that there is never going to be anyone that's allowed to come into our life to replace the highest priority relationship in our life, and that is with the Father. How many of you guys know y'all need some boundaries to protect that relationship? Highest priority. This is their core. This is the core relationship in your life. God is the only person who belongs at the core of your heart and your spirit. This is the wellspring of life that gives life to all the people in your other levels of intimacy. This is the relationship that defines who you are as an individual. How many of you know we allow a lot of people to define us when God is not at the center, because he's the only one that actually defines who we are. And when he's not at the center of all of our operations in life, we allow other people to begin to define us because we've given them that defining relationship spot, priority. Does that make sense? The second level of intimacy is your most human intimate relationship. Only one person can fit this place. This is not a place for all other people to fit into. This is actually like your number two is your next level of intimacy is if you're married, this better be your spouse. It better be your spouse. And if it's not, we need to do some work. Because if it's not, this is the beginning of toxic relationships in your life. But if you're not, this could also be a friend. This could be one individual that you're just intimately connected to, a coworker, a sibling, a parent can be in that place. But that has to change when a spouse comes in. Number three is the next level of intimacy. The further levels of intimacy we go out, the more room that we have to fit people in. At this point, we're talking about kids, grandkids, really close friends. All of a sudden, there's room where I'm not giving you the same amount of energy and effort that I give to my spouse or I give to the Lord. So there's room to give this amount of energy to people around me. There's actually more room for friends and for children, for grandchildren's level of intimacy. And then after that, we go to good friends and coworkers and distant family members. I don't know why there's an exclamation point there. Maybe I'm just excited about distant family members. The next level of intimacy and connection is acquaintances. The next level of that is people that live in the same geographical location. And you go like, how does that even matter? The people who make your coffee every day are actually in your relational circle. They're in your life. And you actually have to determine, what am I going to give emotionally, energy, relationally to the people that I interact with and see with every day? I go to the gym and I know people in the gym. I'm actually have growing relationships with the people that I work out with. You know, they're there at the same time that I am. Those are actual relationships, but they're nowhere near friends or maybe even acquaintances at this point. But I do have a responsibility to bring something into that connection. Danny Silk says, you are called to love all people, but that does not mean that they all have access to your core. It's your job to manage your life so that you can offer the people in your inmost circles appropriate access to your core. This is where boundaries bring definition. Because depending on where the relationship falls in, your intimacy levels will define the energy that belongs to them and the manner that you're responsible in responding to their needs. And the problem is that when we start with, we don't have boundaries, then we'll have no definition. And when there's no definition, these layers of relationship and the amount of energy that I'm going to exert into those relationships will get very confusing without boundaries and definitions. Why? Because when all of a sudden I'm actually giving too much energy to an acquaintance and not to my spouse, I'm giving too much energy to my children and not to the Lord, all of a sudden all the relationships will be affected by the disjointed priorities relationally in my life. And this is where relational dysfunction and toxicity comes from, is the lack of boundaries bringing definition. I will allow people to have more influence over my heart than their intimacy should actually give them. Does that make sense? This is where dysfunction enters the chat room. So how do we set appropriate boundaries in our life? You guys ready? Number one, Matthew 22:37-40. Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is just like it. Love your neighbor as, what's the measuring stick? Love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, we're going to test how many gets pay attention to the safety conversation on a plane. Who gets the mask first? Thank you, Derek. He used to be a flight attendant. Would you like to come and do the demonstration for us? Or just kidding. No, sorry. You probably know it. You probably do it in your sleep. Boundaries are not created by your fear. Boundaries are not created because of other people's mistakes. Boundaries are created from your identity, your value, your worth, and your needs. Boundaries are for me, not for you. I am not living in defense of your life. I am living for the priority of my core relationship with the Lord. And out of that I'd be able to bring the best version of myself into the most intimate relationships of my life. Because I am here to bear fruit in my life, not live in defense of your mistakes. Which means that boundaries are not created to dodge and defend all y'all's issues. It's actually to protect. I am so valuable to the Lord. I am so loved and honored and respected by God. He is so proud of my life, and he's done such a work that it's worth protecting. Amen. And because I am valuable, and because I am aware of his value and worth on my life, that means that I'm going to protect what's valuable, and I'm going to live and communicate what it means to value and protect what I have discovered in the Father's love for me. Is this all right? Is this a little backwards for some people? Boundaries are vital for powerful, independent relationships. Interdependence requires two powerful people with unique individual identities to choose to live vulnerably and dependent on each other. This is really important. Why? Because dependence without boundaries leads to enmeshment, codependency, because boundaries determine where I end and you begin. In order for us to have a healthy relationship, we got to be two healthy people living with boundaries, knowing exactly who we are and what we bring to the table. And so that I can enter into this relationship and I can go, that's who you are. That's what you're going through. And that's what you need. Here's who I am, what I have, and how I can provide for your need. And I will give everything that I have to give you, and I will not take any false responsibility for what's going on in your life that you are powerful enough to handle on your own. And so this is where I begin, and that's where I end my ability to sow into your life. Because if I can't do that, I'm going to take on false narratives of responsibility for your life, and before you know it, we will become a codependent relationship because I don't know where my responsibility for my life begins and ends because I'm relying on you. So if we want to be interdependent, we actually have to be powerful people that are choosing to actually lean in and live vulnerably and powerful together. But I need to know that I'm not going to lose myself in this relationship. Are we all right? Brené Brown says if there's no autonomy between people, there's no compassion or empathy. Why? Because if I am unaware of my needs, I do not know how to invite you into my life or communicate what I need from our relationship. And if I'm unaware of myself, lacking internal boundaries, I will mistakenly make you responsible for my feelings. It's like if I have a birthday and you don't come to it, and you're an important person in my life. Maybe it hurts me, but what if I allowed you coming to my birthday to determine my self-worth? How many of you guys know we immediately just entered in to an enmeshed relationship, not an interdependent relationship? Because you have the ability to hurt me, but you don't have the ability to define my worth. And when my worth is determined, I can actually create boundaries, not on you, but on myself. Saying, if you can't come to my birthday, it doesn't mean that I'm not valuable. It probably means that you are really overwhelmed in your life. And this actually allows me to enter the relationship and not hold you to some weird expectation that's not communicated. It actually allows me to say, I have compassion for you because I know there's a lot going on in your life, and I'm not going to allow your inability to come to my birthday to determine if I'm valuable or not. I'm valuable, and so I'm going to create a boundary over my emotional extent of how I'm going to process you not coming, and I'm going to actually have compassion over your situation and release you from the guilt of not showing up. Is this all right? This is important stuff. Am I doing all right, Derek? He's like the master at this stuff. All right. Boundaries protect us from resentment and cause us to remain in compassion. Because in order to have compassion and empathy for each other, we actually have to have the ability to see each other as individuals and to know where I begin and end in the relationship. Without healthy internal boundaries, you can often find too much personal self-worth in your involvement in other people's lives and inappropriately attach your identity to the relationship. And all of a sudden, when they're up, you're up. And when they're down, you're down. Why? Because you're enmeshed. Boundaries begin with self-awareness and identity alignment. Identity alignment begins with investment in the core intimate relationship in your life, the Lord. The one who defines you. I want to encourage you, whenever you go through relational, when you all of a sudden this stuff is going on and a relationship is causing you trauma in your life, or all of a sudden you are actually confessing, I might not be valuable, I might not be worthy, I might not be good enough for this relationship, and you're finding your self-worth is fluctuating with the relationships in your life, I want to encourage you in this, that go back to the core relationship of your life and steward that place, because he is the one that defines you, and you may have actually given somebody else the wrong place in the priority line of relationship. And so what do? We repent, come back to the Lord, and steward the relationship with the Father. All right. We all right? Just go a couple more minutes. Number two, we have to define the relationship. Amos 3:3, can two walk together unless they are agreed? When you are in right alignment with your identity, we don't have to define the relationship. This allows you to determine what I can bring to the relationship and what I need from the relationship. If you can't define the relationships in your life, then you will not be able to communicate rightly what is needed, required, or expected in the relationship. And this is what's really cool. I want you to start to flip the script on boundaries, because boundaries do not begin with do not. It actually begins with shared desire and need. Don't you dare say that to me again. It's not the beginning of a boundary. The beginning of a boundary is I need your love and support. Why? Because I need that in my life for this relationship to bring health and wholeness. We always start with the electric fence and landmines instead of actually communicating what I need out of the relationship. A boundary is so powerful for healthy, deep, vulnerable, covenantal relationships, because a boundary is an invitation to respect and honor the very foundations of an intimate connection. When I get to define the relationship, what I need for us to be friends is I need you to show up in my times of need. And then when you know that, because I've defined it and communicated it, I'm inviting you to actually build trust, which allows our relationship to go deeper. So sometimes we're like afraid to communicate or even define the relationship because we're afraid that people actually feel distant from a connection. But I'm telling you right now, boundaries, when they come out of the right identity and they're shared as like, I'm valuable and worthy of love, and here's what I need out of this relationship, you're inviting them saying, hey, you get a choice here. You get to build intimate connection with me and a history of trust that will allow us to even become more vulnerable and intimate in this relationship. Isn't that awesome? Boundaries, when rooted from wholeness, empowers people to become even more intimately connected to you because they are opportunities to build trust. And this is where communication comes in. This is where we're going to land the plane, and we're going to talk about what to do when people betray that trust. Okay, this is an important one. This is where all your questions get answered, and I'm done. How many of you know the best defense is a good offense? And it's more exciting to watch. Sorry, that's a sports reference. Not a church reference. The best defense is a good offense. You set the best boundaries by communicating what you are going to prioritize in your life. I'm going to spend time with the Lord right now. I've committed my evening to my wife. I'm taking my kids on a hike that day. Saturdays are my days to read and study. Danny Silk says, the more others encounter us honoring the boundaries you set for our lives, the more they will know that they can trust us with their lives. Why? Because setting and honoring healthy boundaries is essential in creating a relational culture of respect, honor, trust, and love in our connections with people. Because if you can do it for yourself and you invite people to that, you will do it for them as well. And if you actually struggle in your relationship with the Lord, you might be a person living with a boundaried life, might be the very person that encouraged me to cultivate that intimate relationship in my life as well. Communicating boundaries is an invitation to love and respect. Invisible, this is, all right, ready? Husbands and wives, listen to this. Invisible, uncommunicated boundaries are a landmine in a relationship. Because uncommunicated boundaries are assumed shared values. The moment you can identify something as assumed, stop right there. Stop. You see somebody, you know, how many of you guys know assumptions have become facts in our culture because of social media? We watch a story, everything is fine in their life. We assume because of what we see externally, but it's not being communicated, everything is fine. So we don't show up for people because we live as assumptions are facts. And because of that, uncommunicated boundaries are a landmine because uncommunicated boundaries are assumed shared values. You think they know what you need, but you never shared it with them. When we attempt to enforce an uncommunicated boundary, we create a culture of punishment in our relationship that will ultimately lead to disconnection and distance. Why? Because I stepped on your landmine and I had no idea, and now you're distancing yourself because I broke your trust and I got no idea what's going on in this flipping relationship. Come on, husbands and wives, has anybody ever been around the fine train? You were happy this morning and you're not happy. What's going on? Everything is fine. And you're running for the hills. You're running for your life. Why? Because fine is code word for we are about to blow each other up right now. Right? Why? Because an uncommunicated boundary has been crossed and it's actually created a relational disconnection. Fear has come in, and if we don't speak to the issue that's going on, we are actually going to foster continual distance until we don't even know why we're distant anymore and we're trying to figure our way back to connection, but it's all unspoken and not communicated. We do it as friends, we do it in our marriage. And what we're doing is we're punishing each other for things we assume you should know. But when a boundary is communicated, we empower people to make a choice to honor us. And if they're unable to do that, our choice to enforce a boundary is a consequence and not a punishment. Big difference. Brené Brown is in your notes. I spelled that wrong. Sorry. Courage to set boundaries is about being brave enough to love yourself, even at the risk of disappointing others. Healthy relationships look like really brave communication to communicate the scary, vulnerable needs of our life and invite people to respect those needs, even at the risk of them violating our connection. And what's so important is that when we communicate a need and a family member, an uncle, a cousin, a spouse, actually when something's been communicated, you invite them into the trust of the relationship and they're unable to fulfill that trust and they betray your trust, you now have a legal precedence to say the consequence is that I can't be as close to you that is intimate as intimately required for the relationship that we've had, and I have to make some decisions to actually live to protect the boundaries of my life. I can't keep showing up into a relationship giving a heart as vulnerable and you're not meeting me halfway in honoring what's valuable. I have to protect it. If you communicate it, it's a consequence. If you don't communicate it, it's a punishment. Are you guys hearing me? When healthy boundaries are in place, any decision we make to distance ourselves relationally is one that is educated, powerful, and necessary for the sake of our most important relationships in our life. And if we've gotten ourselves into the mystery spiral of relationships where we just are constantly assuming and they're breaking trust and all that, we need to go back to the beginning and actually share what's valuable to us and invite them to be a part of sharing value and honor and respecting your life. Because boundaries begin with your self-worth and awareness of what you need, not living in fear of the mistakes of the people around you. Is this all right? Do you guys feel like you're in like a life coaching class or something as we're going through this? This is so important to have healthy relationships and to lay these boundaries and to actually do this together. And you'd be like, I want to be intimately connected to you. And I know that I don't just get equal access, but I want to build the relationship that gets us there. And I want to dig in with you. I don't want to live from the outskirts assuming things about your life. I want to intimately know you. I want to vulnerably know you. In order to do that, I want to do the work of choosing to pursue valuable relationship with you every single day. In order to do that, I have to create a life that has boundaries. And a life that honors what's valuable in your life. And if we can learn how to do this, not only will marriages be healthy, families will be healthy, but healthy people will be showing up into an environment that builds healthy relationships. Don't you want every single person that comes into the kingdom to walk through those doors, meet a greeter, come in, go to a life group, meet a group of people where they see healthy relationships actually being modeled for the first time in their life? Yes. They go, I don't have to be afraid here. Because these people, I can trust them because they do relationship well. This is what, I'm not just talking about a harvest of souls. I'm talking about making disciples that change the world. We're inviting them into a family, not into an organization. Amen? Amen. Come on, let's stand together.